Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
And speaking of greatness, in my opinion, and I know a lot of them, and I think a lot of them are really good, the best fantasy football analyst out there is our buddy Evan Silva from Establish the Run. I think that the information on that website is absolutely amazing. I'm on it every week as I do my prep for NFL Sundays. And I would urge people, if you're heavy into sports betting, which you are because you're listening to the show, if you're into fantasy, which I'm sure is the case as well, you got to check out Establish the Run. I don't get paid to say that, and I pay to subscribe for the site. So I'm a huge fan of it. I think it's wonderful. And we love bringing on one of the co-founders of Establish the Run, Evan Silva, here to You Better You Bet on Twitter at Evan Silva. Evan, appreciate you joining us here. It's Nick and Ken, radio.com sports. How's it going, my brother, ahead of week number 7?
Always the best, most appreciated intro that I get from anybody. So thank you very much, Nick. And let's talk some ball.
Absolutely. I want to start with probably the biggest news story, I guess, Evan, you know, in terms of something yesterday that happened. I mean, we had the Antonio Brown kind of like quasi news come out today. We've had some other injury stuff, but this Tua thing, it has been very interesting, and more news coming out today. Like Fitzpatrick had some quotes, like was really surprised, and it was kind of like not exactly kind of the emotional response I would have looked for. Like, what do you make of the Dolphins, you know, making the quarterback change? How does that make them different, either from a fantasy perspective or just whether you like them more going forward?
I don't think that it's going to be really tough for Tua, you know, as promising a prospect as he is, to play at as high a level as Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing number one. I don't think they're going to change the offense. I mean, you know, they really, Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick, their skill sets aren't that dissimilar. It's just that Tua is like better in every area, or at least theoretically, than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick did have the big leg up because he had played in Chan Gailey's system. Chan Gailey, the Dolphins' new offensive coordinator, had been out of football for several years before the Dolphins brought him back. But Ryan Fitzpatrick played with him for several years in Buffalo. It stinks for Ryan Fitzpatrick, but clearly this was an organizational decision. They likely had planned for this to happen, just right at the bye week, and they it's very unlikely that they had planned for Ryan Fitzpatrick to play as well as he did. And I wonder, because the Dolphins have been one of the most active like trading teams since, you know, Brian Flores took over along with Chris Greer, the GM, over the past season and a half, that maybe they'll look to shop Ryan Fitzpatrick, because that is probably certainly what's in the best interest of an organization that is turning away from him, but also in the best interest of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who they also need to consider, because, hey, he's got them, like, you know, in playoff.
It is not the conversation I expected to have after the Dolphins won their second straight to pull to 3-3 with Fitzpatrick being benched. Kind of like, it's like 2004, you know, when the Giants were 5-4 with Kurt Warner and bench him for Eli Manning. And, you know, they were terrible the rest of the season, but the rest was history, obviously, with Eli Manning. And Ev, let's start our week 7 preview with Eli's old team, my pathetic, hapless, pathetic New York football Giants. 4.5-point dogs on the road in Philadelphia. Low total here of 45. I'm like, I'm going to get sucked into this from the fan perspective because the NFC East is so bad. But I feel like I know deep down that the Eagles are going to shut them down and the Eagles are probably going to win and cover the spread here. What's your take on this game? Philly, only 4.5 now. This market moved with Ertz and Miles Sanders out. And the total, a low 45. Eagles and Giants Thursday night in Philly.
Yeah, I bet it quickly when it was posted. I think I got it at 3.5 or 4. And I bet the Eagles side. The Giants just are really, really bad, number one. I think that pulling Zach Ertz out of the Eagles offense actually could be a good thing for the Eagles, and inserting DeSean Jackson and, you know, getting more action for Travis Fulham and even Richard Rodgers at the expense of Zach Ertz. I mean, Zach Ertz was playing terribly. He was like the worst player on the field for the Eagles, regardless of opponent and his own teammates over the first 6 weeks of the season. So I think that actually could be a plus. Carson Wentz, he's been really, really up and down. But I think that he, you know, he's got more high moments than low moments in the Eagles' recent games. And it looks like they're going to get back Lane Johnson. And I mean, how are the Giants going to score? I mean, Darius Slayton can ball, but he's going to have Darius Slay on him. And then they've got nothing else out of any of them. And they've got talent at the other skill positions players. I think it should help that Sterling Shepard is back, but I'm not sure if he'll be anywhere near 100%. How much will they actually use him? I mean, they're letting Evan Ingram going to waste, leading the NFL in curl route run. And I mean, it's just, you know, they've done nothing promising on offense to give me any kind of, you know, hope for them to all of a sudden spring up. Remember, we talked about this ahead of the Cowboys game, and they did put up 34 points in that game, but it was, you know, from multiple 50-yard field goals and a defensive touchdown, and, you know, the offense still only averaged 4.7 yards per play in that game. I don't know how they're going to score points against the Eagles. They don't make any plays on offense.
Well, Evan, we're already talking about shitty NFC East teams, so we might as well just talk about the other two, because Dallas remains particularly interesting. We find out today, you know, Zach Martin's still in concussion protocol. We also find out going to have a different starting left tackle. The backup left tackle had surgery on his knee today. So, yeah. like they needed more problems. This sounds crazy to say out loud. They are a pick in a game at the Washington football team. They're a 1-point dog in a couple places. Also, like, Is this line correct? Like, where are you at with Dallas kind of one game into the Andy Dalton experiment?
Yeah, I was looking at it on DK Sportsbook earlier today, and Washington was favored by one, and I was like, my goodness, you know, is this just market overreaction to a really bad – I mean, look, everything went wrong that could go wrong in that first Andy Dalton game, from Zeke losing two fumbles to – that just egregious drop in the end zone by Michael Gallup, who had zero drops on the season entering week six. The Cardinals were it's scary, though, that the Cardinals were able to generate that much pass rush even without Chandler Jones. And Washington, even without Matt Ioannidis, who was lost for the season a couple of weeks ago, they've got a lot of talent up front to be able to potentially exploit this just injured Dallas offensive line. At the same time, are we overreacting to the worst case possible debut start of Andy Dalton? I don't know, man. Washington is not very good, and I bet the Cowboys personally, and I'm going to stay on the Cowboys as long as they are underdog against Washington. But I don't know. Well, I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on this, because, you know, it seems like theoretically a bounce back spot for Dallas after just getting embarrassed at home on Monday Night Football.
Ken, what do you think of this game? Because, like, I'm not ready to make, like, a full prediction yet. I just kind of feel like, I mean, like, I don't know if Dallas can protect Andy Dalton, and I think that may be my main issue with potentially taking the Cowboys in this game.
Yeah, I mean, if Washington's favorite, I definitely don't want to bet the game. But if you tell me Dallas takes money on Sunday, gets back to 1 or 2, and Evan, we were talking about this yesterday, teams that turn the ball over a lot tend to be viewed as, like, unlucky, but there actually is, like, a very predictive quality where they actually, against the spread, they excuse me, they perform really poorly in their next game, their next two games, when they have bad turnover games. I mean, that's been Dallas almost every game the entire season.
Yeah, so it's wild, this Dallas-Washington game. You know what? We've been talking about a bunch of shitty teams to start. Let's talk about a game that should have a lot of fireworks. And I will – my man Ken Barkley said earlier this week that he projected a total in the 60s for the Green Bay Packers and the Houston Texans. Total sitting 57.5 this game in Houston. Green Bay a 3.5-point favorite. We should have some offensive fireworks in this one. This should be a really fun game, Evan. What do you see, side or total, Packers at Houston?
Yeah, it was one of the first games that I wrote up to begin the week because, for the most part, these teams are healthy. So that makes it an easier game to write up. But also, it just looked like a lot of fun on paper. And it was fun to write up because, like, everybody on both sides is in a good spot. I think this is a classic rebound spot for the Packers offense. The Texans defense is atrocious in every single way, like defending running back passes, defending, you know, wide receivers, defending the tight ends, defending the quarterback, like inability to rush the passer. I mean, they check every box. The team that is just, you know, going to give up 30, 35 points per game the rest of the way. And I think that the Packers can get like into the 40s here. I think that Rodgers absolutely flames them. The Bucs defense, I think, is the best defense in the league. And they really stymied the Packers outside of that first drive last week. And now the Packers, like I used to, Warren Sharp used to talk about this when we worked together, and he would talk about how offenses that like face a really tough defense in one week, they just like tend to experience. And they face a really bad defense, you know, at the opposite end of the spectrum in the next week. They tend to just absolutely smash in those scenarios. And I think that that's what we're going to see from the Packers here. And then on the Texans side, like Deshaun Watson has been playing maybe the best football of his career over the past 3 weeks. And, you know, Will Fuller is, knock on wood, healthy. Brandon Cook is, knock on wood, healthy. I mean, he has been Deshaun Watson has been elevating guys like Darren Fells. You know, Brandon Cooks really, he didn't do very much in his last year and a half with the Rams, and now he's making big plays again. And Will Fuller is on pace for career highs in everything. And certainly the Texans are going to be able to run the ball successfully on the Packers because everyone does. So, yeah, I mean, you talked about a game that might jump into the 60s. Well, it's headed in that direction because I think it opened at what, 55.5, and now it's up to 57.5 already. You better get on it now because I don't think it's going down. I think if anything, it's only going to go up.
I totally agree, Evan. Nick alluded to it. My projection for that game was 60. That's the first time I've only been projecting totals for 3 years. That's the first time I've ever had a total that high, and to see it kind of moving up in that direction. Not surprising. Another spread move. Nick and I didn't get a chance to do our NFL spread movement segment prior to having you on, so we didn't have a chance to talk about this yet. But Tennessee took a lot of money this afternoon, enough that Pittsburgh was a 1.5-point favorite, and then 5 minutes later, Tennessee was a 1-point favorite and still is taking money, -1, -150. Now everywhere. So Titans money coming into the market. Titans now a very small favorite in that matchup of undefeated teams. What do you like there with the Steelers and the Titans?
So because I was kind of waiting on the Taylor Lewan news, which we now know that he is out season with a torn ACL, and like Corey Davis news, he has been activated off the COVID list, and Deontay Johnson news, I still don't know about him.
He practiced today. He practiced today, Evan. I saw the report like 20 minutes ago.
All right, good. He did practice early in the week last week too, and then did not play. I've been like delaying on really going deep into this game, and therefore I do not have, and I haven't been able to like eyeball it and be like, oh yeah, you know, I really like one side. So I don't have any good takes on Tennessee, Pittsburgh. I don't even anticipate that I will, because I think it's going to be a tough game to handicap, because you know you have the Steelers who can stop the run and you know stop what the Titans do so well, and they also their weakness really is giving up big plays in the passing game, and that's not necessarily how the Titans beat you. You know, A.J. Brown certainly can do it after the catch, but, I mean, they don't really have, like, a big-time deep threat on the Titans. So, I think it's going to be a difficult game it's a great real-life game, but a difficult one to handicap.
Okay, I don't disagree with that. I did radio earlier today, and, like, I had, like, no answer. I kind of said a lot of the same stuff you did. I do have a strong feeling on this next game. I know Ken does as well. We both betted on Monday when the Lions were 3-point dogs on the road in Atlanta. Detroit has now moved down to just a 2-point underdog in Atlanta. The Falcons coming off the win last week over Minnesota. Total 55.5 here. So for context, Ken and I already both bet the Lions. We like the Lions in this game. Who do you like, Evan? Lions visiting the Falcons, Atlanta -2.
Oh, I love it. I got on Lions money line like right when it came out, and also like the over. Neither of these teams can rush the passer. So both quarterbacks should have clean pockets. Both offensive lines are healthy, which is like really rare. And really have not experienced injuries up front. Limited pass rush and full strength offensive lines, like, let's go. We got to keep an eye on Julio because he was DNP today. We have to hope that he didn't have a setback, but man, he was back. I mean, he was back balling last week, and he's an absolute monster. And he makes other guys in the offense better, beginning obviously with Matt Ryan. But, I think that other players in the offense are better with Julio Jones on the field. And then we have the Lions coming off probably their best performance of the season against the Jaguars. But the Falcons, their defense is just as weak as Jacksonville. So I think that both teams are in big-time blow-up spots. I think this is the game where we see Kenny Golladay really have – and he's been solid since he came back in three games from that hamstring injury that sidelined him for the first two. But I think that this is the game where we see Kenny Golladay have a true eruption against Atlanta, which has just been hemorrhaging – big plays in the passing game.
Evan, one game that Nick and I talked about on Monday, the line, has sort of moved interestingly this game, the San Francisco-New England game, right? So you have obviously the obvious kind of treetop narrative here is you have Jimmy Garoppolo and Bill Belichick, facing off basically, after Jimmy G was traded to the Niners. But there's so many other things going on here, right? You have Mostert for San Francisco going on the IR. San Fran continues to have a ton of injuries. You have New England maybe getting some guys back. David Andrews maybe going to play this week. So, like, a lot of kind of moving parts here with Niners against the Patriots, who looked miserable last week. New England, a very small 2-point favorite in this game. Do you have any kind of lean on this? The total, a very low 44 also.
Yeah, not the most fun game, certainly from a fantasy perspective. We know about Bill Belichick's history coming off a loss, whereas the 49ers are coming off a very big win, a dominant win, and largely unexpected win, I would say, against the Rams in a national TV, primetime spot. So from that standpoint, I kind of like, the idea of betting on the Patriots here. I have not done it myself yet, though. And, I mean, there are things that worry me about the Patriots. Their defense has not been as good. Jimmy Garoppolo looked right back to 100%. When you got George Kittle, you got Debo Samuel, you got Brandon Ayuk all rolling, that passing game can be really dangerous. And on the other side, the supporting cast for New England, even if they get David Andrews back, and, I mean, the offensive line can be okay, they have the dustiest group of pass catchers, like, in football. And I'm not sure it's even close. So it's just a lot to put on Cam. But from the narrative standpoint, I can see betting the Patriots. It's a tough one for me.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, so Patriots right now, like we said, 1.5 total, very low, 44. Evan, my final question. I've got a contrarian over that I like this week, and I know we did this a lot last year when you would come on, so I'm curious what you think about this. So, and I think that you actually talked about this on some of your podcasts with Adam Levitan. I may be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that you did. Like, with the Broncos in the draft, it was interesting, right? It felt like they were drafting, trying to, like, they know that what they have to do to stop Kansas City. You're never going to stop Patrick Mahomes, but maybe you can score enough to hang in these games, right? So Courtland Sutton out kind of screws it up a little bit, but maybe Hamler's going to be back. Maybe Fant will be back. They obviously have Judy and Tim Patrick's been okay, and Albert O and Philip Lindsay. I kind of like the over, and the under has taken a lot of money in this game. This number has moved down this total, 46 Broncos and Chiefs. I'm going to bet the over here. I think Drew Locke's going to sling it all over the place. Chiefs a 10-point favorite. Do you have a thought, side or total in this game? Kansas City minus 10 in Denver, total 46.
Yeah, the side is a lot of points. You know, so I don't really have a strong position there, but I did look at the over because, you know, the Chiefs can get you pretty close to that when they have one of their big games. And, you know, aside from the Sammy Watkins injury, like, their skill position core is healthy right now. Travis Kelce can absolutely have a big game. Tyreek Hill, I think, is kind of due almost for a big game at this point. And, you know, if the Chiefs put up 35, then all you need is, what, 11 to get there, or 12 from Denver's side, and we can get the over. And if you think that the Broncos can score like 23 here, that then we're really, really talking. So, yeah, I was looking at the over. I didn't take it myself yet, but I like the idea. I do like the idea.
And Evan, worth mentioning here, and I'll just kind of provide some context. We were on our text chain. So when this under got hit and we were going to do this in our spread movement segment, I was like, well, why did this happen? I wonder if it's like a weather situation. And this is not like a for sure. I mean, it's fucking Wednesday. Like, there's no, I mean, we'd have no idea, you know, for sure what the weather's going to be. It is going to be right now 19 degrees and snow is your projection in Denver right now for weather in the game.
Okay.
So like, that is not 100%. Like, the temperature is probably going to be very cold, but it's not like 100% chance of blizzard or something. But just for people who are thinking also the same way we are, because I also like the under or the over rather in that game. It played obviously not in a blizzard. You know, sort of worth mentioning the snow projection for Denver right now, 6 to 10 inches throughout the day in that game. So again, think about red zone. Might have an October snow game again. Like, worth monitoring. Maybe it clears up and we all like the over and we get to bet that over at a good number, but that's sort of like the pivot point. The weather, I think, controls maybe what we like there. And there's, you know, I think something to follow basically as the week goes on. Evan, one more game I want to ask you about, and then we let you go, and really, really appreciate you. You know, feel like we have literally almost asked you about every game, but we have not talked about Seattle, Arizona very much on the show this week.
Yeah.
Arizona played Monday night, and I feel like on our show, you know, I think we did this to a certain extent. All other shows, like, clearly you're kind of like your first takes and everything. Everyone talks about Dallas coming out of the Monday night game, right? Like, we don't give any credit to Arizona. Arizona doesn't deserve any credit. Like, whatever, this is all about Dallas and how miserable they are. Arizona, like, more than a field goal dog at home against Seattle, like, have not played particularly poorly this season. Like, what do you kind of make of that? That's like a pretty big number, I think, for Seattle on the road.
Yeah. I do like the Seattle side, but not as much as I do the over on the game. And it's a little bit scary because when these two teams played last year, and plenty has changed since then, but when these two teams played last year, they were both under games, like, well under whatever the total is right now. I know it's like in the mid-50s somewhere. But I you know, still, like, the Seahawks, their offense has changed dramatically with their, you know, having embraced the Let Russ Cook movement. They are healthy, like, almost from top to bottom. And then Arizona is really, really healthy as well, with the exception on defense where they lost Chandler Jones. And, you know, good, we want the you know, the top defenders out. Seattle is getting back Jamal Adams, or at least they're expected to. They added Damon Snacks Harrison, which, I mean, I like that. I want my defenses, when I'm looking at overs, when I'm looking to start guys in fantasy against defense, like, I want them to be good against the run and really, really bad against the pass. And that's what Seattle has been so far this year. And that could be enhanced even by the addition of Jamal Adams coming back, who's, I mean, he's a great run defending safety. And Damon Snacks Harrison, you know, we know what his role is in the NFL. So that creates a pass funnel situation for Kyler Murray. The Cardinals passing game hasn't been that great this year. Even, you know, in this big game that Kyler had against Dallas, when he was like 9 for 24, they hit the big play to Kirk. They hit one big play to Hopkins. And, you know, that was like about it. But this is the kind of matchup that I think could like spike the Arizona passing game. Number one, number two, Seattle has given up a lot of rushing production to quarterbacks this year. And last year, they also gave up a lot of rushing production to quarterbacks. And in both games, Kyler was really productive rushing against Seattle last season. So it's like we could get a best of both worlds scenario for Kyler Murray, where he can have, you know, maybe his best passing day of the season and another monster rushing day. And then on the other side, I mean, I do think that we can count each and every week on the Seahawks giving us, you know, 30 or 35. I mean, that's how good Russell Wilson is. He's a freaking magician.
Evan, you're a magician, brother, and you're very generous with your time. And we sincerely appreciate you coming on the show. Everyone check him out if you're not already on Twitter, at Evan Silva. And please, if you're interested in betting, if you're interested in fantasy, we're guessing you are since you're listening to the show, his website is fantastic. The information's great. I'm on it every week when I'm going over my fantasy lineups and taking my notes for You Better You Bet. And for a lot of the games that we talk about in the NFL, it's awesome. Evan, we appreciate you, man. Good luck this week. We appreciate, and we look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
That's our brother Evan Silva here on You Better You Bet. So that's fun. So
selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We pull back the curtain a little bit here, and Tyler, I'll leave this in for the podcast, this little banter here that we're gonna have. So we had scheduled in our hashtag It Moves segment to be on before Evan. And we were kind of texting earlier in the day about the total drop in the Broncos-Chiefs game. It's a game that, you know, we talked about on the show on Tuesday, and like we had been like texting about a little bit, and it's a total that I've been excited to take and go over on because I feel like, you know, it's going to make me feel really smart because people like the under, and I feel like they're going to be like 60 points in the game. And, you know, we were going to do it before Evan, and then like we went long with our college football segment, which was great. Long was good because it was awesome. And it kind of surprised me to hear that. Not that surprised me in the sense that like, okay, like, now I understand why this total's been dropping. So, yeah, it's something we're going to have to watch out for. Now, Ken, maybe we've kind of, in our text conversation here, if you feel comfortable kind of giving this on the air, which I'm sure you will, maybe we've developed kind of like a strategy here for how we may want to bet this game if indeed we still like the over and like the win's not going to be atrocious come Sunday and it's not like a winter wonderland in Denver coming up on Sunday against Kansas City.
Yeah, and for further context, so like, I think what people kind of struggle with is like, you know, like a big time player gets declared out or there's weather or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, like what would it have been if there wasn't that thing? Right. So I can give you my total projection with no like inclement weather of any kind was 49 in the game. The opener was 48 and a half. So that kind of tells you like the opener existed with no concept of whether my projection existed with no concept of whether those two numbers, my projection and the opener, are generally extremely similar in, you know, 95% of cases. And so when you see the drop, it's like you can literally say that this is solely due to the projection of snow. Also, like, it's Wednesday, and you see in college football, this is like extremely common. You have like all these Southern schools this time of year, hurricane season, that play outside, obviously. And you'll see totals just nosedive. We had Colin on a couple weeks ago when Hurricane Delta was going to come in, and it's like 12 points down, 13 points down in some of these Mississippi school games. Like, but like bettors that bet these games, like, you always, like, the thought is like, you always want to get ahead of the weather move because you get closing line value. So like, if you hit 47, like, there's no way 47 comes back in this game. Like, it's just not, like, even if it snows a little bit, the number's never coming back again. I'm not even sure 46 is going to come back again once it kind of gets off this number. I think we just, there's the, like, a percentage of confidence almost, right? Like, as we get to Friday and Saturday and like, we know for sure it's happening. Like, totals only going one way, man. So yeah, when we get to Sunday, you know, I think you have a choice. I think one interesting way to play this game is to wait till Sunday, wait till like literally 4:24 p.m. Eastern time. The bottom will fall out. I mean, once people see visuals on Sunday of like, you know, Sunday countdown comes on, it's like, all right, we have like, here's Sal Palantonio from, you know, Invesco Field at Mile High or whatever they call it now. And it's like,
and he's got,
oh,
like,
there's
nine
already 2 inches on the ground,
nine,
and like
nine,
yeah,
parkas on, right, and his face is, and his face is bright red. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, where is the total going when that happens? Like, it's only going down even more. So you can wait and just like play the opposite at the lowest possible point. You could do that. I think one other interesting thing just right now is like, if this total gets lower, which is very likely, the other thing that happens is I think the spread goes down to match it. Fewer possessions, you know, less pace, less scoring. Denver also inherently becomes more valuable. There are a couple tens left right now. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to just put in a parlay right now. While you were giving that comment, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I actually think I might just do this, like, literally in the commercial break. I might parlay Denver in the under right now. Like, I actually think both can't change, like, for the worse. Like this is the best combination of those two things that you're kind of going to get. Like, a 10-point dog in a snow game with a total that's probably only ever going down. Like, I think that's actually the way to play it right now. Or you can kind of take the contrarian Sunday approach of like, I'm waiting. And then I'm going to bet like 42 on Sunday.
When would you look to play that Broncos under parlay?
Today.
or more specifically would be right
in
now.
The break.
I do want to add this. We've got a Bigot Move segment coming up. Maybe we should have saved this for that, or maybe Tyler can kind of splice it together. But so when it comes to weather, right, and like, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I think I'm right. What we really want, unless it's like a fucking blizzard, which it may very well be, like it may be just fucking outright blizzard, right? But in the event that it's just like, you know, weather's finicky, it's kind of like football prognostication, right? It's like, you know, it'd be a hurricane, and then it's a fucking, like, you know, it's drizzling. You know, who the fuck knows? So maybe it's not a blizzard. Maybe it's like there's some snow, and there's snow on the ground, and it's snowing during the game, but it's not like a fucking blizzard. And the wind, which I think, Ken, you texted to us, was like 8 to 9 miles an hour. Locke and Mahomes can spin it through 8 to 9 mile an hour wind. Like, that's not an issue. And as long as it's not like blizzard, if the wind's not going to be like 15, 20 miles an hour, I'm going to wait till 4:24. And I'm going to bet the shit out of the over in this game at the best possible number.
The wind, I just opened up a detailed weather forecast. The wind, like, what is Sunday? Sunday's like the 24th, right? 25th. 25th of October, it's going to be 9 degrees with the wind chill in Denver, Colorado. What is going on? Like, and this is Denver, and I know it happens sometimes early in the year, but like, what the fuck, man? Like, 6 to 10 inches of snow feels like 9 degrees, minimal wind, but like, fuck, man. Like, that is a wild weather forecast for this time.
Some would say global warming can't exist if it's going to snow in Denver on Sunday.
I believe that's why they call it climate change now. I believe that's why that's not the term.
All right, so we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we still have like a loaded show coming up for everybody here. Great job, of course, by Evan Silva. Love when Evan comes on the show. Still have to get into hashtag and move with the NFL notable line movement, including, Ken, one that we have to add, a move in the Sunday night game between the Bucs and Raiders. And, you know, that was a little more nebulous, the total move in Chiefs-Broncos. We know why I think this Bucs-Raiders line is moving, so we'll get into that. NFL Week 7 Q&A with myself and Ken Barkley. Barstool Big Cat joining us at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Dan Katz himself, can't wait for that. Pete Futak from the College Football News to hit all the big college football games. Power Hour, our picks for the Dodgers and Rays, Game 2 of the World Series. But right after this, it's an edition of the Sports Market Sweep, the game that's sweeping the nation. Or, it's like, you know, Rocky and Bullwinkle back in the day, I think was the first ever cartoon to come up with like the trope of a title of an episode, or and then offer like an alternate title as like kind of like a joke. The Sports Market Sweep. It's the segment that's sweeping the nation, or goes by its alternate title, A Way to Kill 20 Minutes on a Wednesday. It's coming up next here on You Better You Bet, radio.com sports.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect forever.